preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quick on Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, lift up your voices this morning to Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. There is none like you, Almighty God. There is none like you, great Jehovah, great Yahweh, our Lord Jesus. We worship you. Our mighty God, we praise your name this morning. No matter what this world has done, Lord, they have not brought you down from heaven, from your throne, nor will the gates of hell prevail against the true church. That is your word, Jesus. They think they are prevailing, but it only means their day of reckoning is drawing near. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, we welcome everyone here today to Fire and Grace Church. Those listening by Blog Talk Radio, we welcome you this morning. You know, we have a much bigger church family out there than is present with us today because we have people that listen to our broadcast every week and really consider us their church because they can't find one that preaches the Word of God. And I can't tell you how many emails and messages that I get of people telling me, I wish I could go to your church. It's amazing, though, how that's not the case, it seems, with people who live in this area. But it is amazing how many people, I have people from all over who say that. Of course, you know, it's one thing to say that when you live, you know, far off, when you got to live with people every day, you know. That's when the test comes, isn't that right? That's right. Well, a lot to get into this morning. I want everyone to turn. Let's just turn to the book of Jude first. We'll start in the New Testament before we go to the Old Testament this morning. There are a lot of lies out there, a lot of deception, even within Christianity, within the Christian church or what calls itself the church. Of course, not every part that calls itself Christian or the church of Jesus is really the church of Jesus. But there seems to be just mass confusion on things that are clear in the Bible. Do you know that the homosexual community says that homosexuality is not talked about in the New Testament. I'm like, okay, what version of the New Testament are they reading? I don't know. Is it the Queen James? Don't laugh. I think there is one called the Queen James. All right? As many of you know, it's no secret now. We've talked about it for the last few weeks, and I said this months ago. If the Supreme Court of the United States ruled in favor of gay marriage and legalized gay marriage in all 50 states, overriding the Constitution and overriding the will of the people in many states that have already made laws defining marriage as between a man, one man, and one woman under God. I've said it. Many ministers, Franklin Graham, I just read Perry Stone, many ministers across the board, whether they be Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, there's a sense in the air now that America just crossed the line. You know, I know there are those that argue that our founding fathers were not Christian. Let me just say this. The majority of them were certainly not anti-Christian. Amen? And if we go back before even our founding fathers of the United States of America, if we go back before that, we know why the pilgrims came here. They wanted to freely worship God without government involving themselves in oppression and persecution. They wanted to be free to worship God. I've been there to Plymouth, Massachusetts. I've seen Plymouth Rock, 1620, chiseled into that stone. Do you know that up until 2003, the act of sodomy was illegal in the United States? Do you know that? And upheld by the Supreme Court up until 2003. I can't remember. There was something else that happened in 1992. But the slippery slope began a long time ago. But now we have the Supreme Court of the United States, the largest Christian nation on the face of the earth. And whether all of our founding fathers were Christian or not, or whether they were all godly men or not, many of them were Christians. The Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution were based upon the Bible, biblical principles. That doesn't mean America has always demonstrated Christianity properly. Because you know what? One thing I've determined, even our founding fathers, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't point our finger really at anybody else that's sinned because we've sinned. And before I get on the issue of homosexuality this morning and Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment that's about to come on America, I just want to say this as Christians in America, Christians in England, I guess, in Australia, we could speak for the West. We have people that listen to us in England and Australia and all over the world. Western society, we have all contributed to the judgment that's coming upon us. Now, I'm not one that believes all sins are the same. In fact, I'm going to show you this morning that the Bible teaches that there's a difference between sins. The Bible talks about there are sins unto death and sins not unto death. And he's talking about eternal death or eternal damnation in hell. Some sins are called abominations, detestable. But some sins are not unto eternal death. Now, this is another lie. You know, just like I told you in the homosexual community, a lot of people say that that Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality, or the, or homosexuality is not mentioned in the New Testament. Well, that's a lie. We'll show that this morning. But there's another lie, even within the Christian church, that all sins are the same. And that lie contributes to the way we look at sin. All sins are not the same. I'm going to show you. That's a lie. If you believe that, you've believed a lie. Trust me, folks. There's a difference between me telling a little white lie about my wife's casserole not being good, or me saying it's good when it's not good, or molesting a child. Don't tell me there's not a difference between those sins. Don't tell me there's not a difference letting a cuss word slip out of your mouth or raping somebody. Don't tell me there's a difference between, you know, looking and letting lust come in your eyes than going and actually committing adultery. There are differences. And there are consequences. And also the Bible talks about there's a sin that you can commit, but you don't want to commit it. You don't want to keep committing it or practicing it. And it says for that, for the Christian, there is forgiveness if you go to God. But there's a difference between, and the Bible shows that there's a difference between habitually practicing a sin that's unto death, being unrepentant, unsorrowful, whatever you want to say, and thinking that you can keep repeating it and still go to heaven. Then there's the lie out there that says, because Jesus died on the cross for the sins of mankind, I can do whatever I want because it's all dealt with under the cross, and I can do whatever I want. A lot of people believe that. That's why you hear the homosexual community talking about, you know, Jesus loved people. Jesus didn't condemn people. Judge not. I even saw one of the guys today. I'm like, you know, one of the guys that they consider themselves a watchman, I guess he considers himself a Christian, and he puts out some good information, Dave Hodges. But on his article this morning, he said, oh, you can be a Christian and be homosexual. Yeah. You don't know. Well, let me just put it this way. What I believe is happening, because the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. I believe what's been going on with Obama and this homosexual agenda, and now with this ruling from the Supreme Court, remember, all things working together for good. It's been happening now for some time in years, but this issue of either calling homosexuality a sin, an abomination to God, a sin that if you practice is unto death and eternal damnation in hell, or saying it's okay, you can be a Christian and be a homosexual, and that homosexual sin is no different than any other sin. These two opposing views, this issue down, especially with the Supreme Court decision, is drawing a line in the sand. We're going to find out where Christians stand, so-called. The Bible is plain on the subject. Homosexuality is the sign. It's not just what broad acceptance of homosexuality and homosexual perversion and behavior is not just the sign that judgment is coming. It's the sign that you're already in it. It's the sign that your society has already, for the most part, been deceived. And today, I think about it. I think about what happened Friday. I can't even imagine the partying. They lit up the White House with the rainbow colors that the homosexual community, you know, they've adopted the rainbow as their symbol. And so the White House was lit up with this symbol, and these flags were everywhere. I can't imagine what happened in Key West this weekend. San Francisco. I hear Boston's pretty much a completely gay city now. New Orleans, the French Quarter, I've been there. I was there in the early 90s, and they were, during Mardi Gras, having homosexual acts on the street in broad daylight in front of crowds of people. You think it's better now than it was in 1990 and 1991? No. No, we've all sinned, but all sin's not the same. You hear me? But I want to clear up this subject once and for all. Is homosexuality spoken of in the New Testament? Now, I know I said we were going to turn to Jude. Just hold your spot in Jude. We're going to start. We're going to back up a little bit. You know, because I got an email this morning from a young man up in Pennsylvania, Philly, been friends with through Facebook and friends with his mom and his family and counseled them and ministered to them, and they wish they were here, and we wish we could move them from Philly down here to Opelika, Alabama. But I get questions from them, and they're young men trying to live for God and trying to be a light in this world, and they get all kind of crazies attacking them on Facebook. And so they say, Pastor Dean, what about this? I got this guy saying this. And so he said, you know, I got this guy telling me that homosexuality is not mentioned in the Bible, and the word homosexual is not in the Bible. And I said, well, homosexual, the term homosexual or homosexuality, is a modern term. It's a modern term to describe men having sex with men and women having sex with other women. Is that not what it is? Right? Everyone acknowledges that, right? So just because the modern term homosexuality is not in the Bible doesn't mean the issue is not addressed. Now, the most clear issue where it is addressed, where it's spelled out and defined for you so you don't miss it, is Romans chapter 1. Let's look at Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, are you there? Verse 18 is what it says. And we're going to get to the issue of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, everybody ought to know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And can I just say, before we read this, that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is now no one in their right mind. They have to be a complete deceived person in complete denial of reality. But Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities in the plain that God destroyed have been discovered by numerous archaeologists, and they're studying the site even now, and there's unique features to the site of Sodom and Gomorrah that doesn't exist anywhere else on earth. You know what it is? They found these little balls of 96% to 98% pure sulfur. The Bible says God rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah because the sin, their wickedness, was great, grievous, it says. And it said God literally rained fire and brimstone. The word brimstone means sulfur. And they've discovered some structures that were buried in 3 feet of ash that clearly have burn marks and sulfur balls with burn marks on the roofs of the building. And they can tell, the archaeologists can tell, that these buildings were burned from the roof down. Folks, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, as detailed in Genesis 18 and 19, is a historical and archaeological fact. And the reason those cities were destroyed by God, and there were 5 cities. It was not just Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the 5 cities of the plain. They were just the 2 main ones. God turned them into ashes because of homosexuality and pedophilia and rape and all sorts of sexual perversion. And God said, and we're going to read it in Jude in a minute, God said he made Sodom and Gomorrah an example to those who would hereafter live ungodly. And he said, now even they're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It wasn't just the temporary fire that killed their bodies in those cities of the plain there around the Dead Sea. They are now those people who were wicked, who were homosexual perverts and child molesters, and into every other sexual perversion, I'm sure bestiality and everything else, those people are now suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Hear what I'm saying to you this morning. You cannot this abominations. Now, let me just be fair this morning and say this. The church world, in the church, we have rampant sexual sin and immorality. We have fornication, which is premarital sex, sex outside of marriage. We have all kind of stuff, but we have adultery. And just being fair, let me make you understand something, that the end result is the same. If you practice fornication habitually, if you practice adultery habitually, if you practice these things like still wants to sin. And he said, I love it, the Apostle John in 1 John 1, verse 8, he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I don't know about these Christians that walk around saying, I don't sin anymore. I mean, I hear some of them. I love them and I appreciate their zeal and their desire, but don't tell me you don't sin anymore, because that's not true. You might go for a season and not sin, but you're not going to live, even as a Christian, a perfect, sinless life. And some Christians, because they have been through terrible things in their life, they've been molested, or they were into alcohol and drugs, and they got all kind of addictions and strongholds and problems in their lives. It takes time to weed out. And so there are Christians who are still struggling. I'm not saying that. God is merciful. God knows if you are running after him and want his freedom and his holiness and his work in your life through the blood of Jesus, but he knows if you're trying to play the game, trying to get forgiveness and still do what you want to do and indulge all your lust and desires. He knows the difference. So there is a difference between someone who is trying to quit versus someone who is trying to make excuses. Oh, no. Don't shout me down. Real quiet in here. I am grateful this morning, and I'm going to say this very clearly. There couldn't be a man on the earth more grateful than I am for the love and the mercy and the patience of God in my life, especially when I was a young man running from him and living in sexual immorality and alcoholism and drug use and trying to run from all my pain and trying to self-medicate and trying to drown it out and just indulging the lust of flesh. I could have died in those sins and been lost forever. Separated from God in hell forever. And yet, because people prayed for me and because people kept sharing the gospel of Jesus with me, my eyes were open. I was convicted of my sin. I saw clearly the end of my behavior, the end of my life. The Lord made it clear, you have to make a choice. Will you repent and believe the gospel, and surrender your life to me, and follow me? And I said, yes, Lord. Now, did I live perfect, sinless life after that? No. But have I ever been the same, what do I want to say, the same person just pursuing sin? Man, I couldn't wait for it to get Friday or Saturday night. I was going to be doing something sinful and evil. And sometimes I couldn't wait till Friday or Saturday night, so that's why it got into Thursday and the Wednesday and the Tuesday sometimes. See, there's a difference between what are you pursuing? What are you after? What are you chasing? What are you desiring? What are you trying to fulfill in your life? Are you trying to fulfill all the lust, the evil lust, the desires of the flesh and the mind? Or are you trying to walk after the Spirit and get free from that mess? That's why Romans 8 is so clear. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, meaning you believed in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. You were born again. You repented at some point. But it says there is no condemnation to you if you are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. What are you chasing? That's what I'd say to the homosexual. What are you chasing? Because you can't be chasing after God and chasing after sex with another man. So don't tell me you can be a Christian and be a homosexual. No, you cannot. Romans verse chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. What? The love of God? The wrath of God is revealed. Now, what's he talking about? Like the wrath of God revealed in Sodom and Gomorrah. That is a revelation of God's wrath. So, Paul's speaking to Christians who know the story. In fact, how many of you know Josephus, the historian, the early second century Josephus? Do you know that within his Antiquities of the Jews, that he wrote about the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah, he saw them plainly in his day? Almost 2,000 years ago, they were more evident than they are today. They're still evident. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Everybody knows the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, especially in America and in the West. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, in their minds, and their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, unto birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And he talks about this. They begin to look at God. And I really believe this. He's referring to how they created idols. But you know how we create idols in the Western world. We don't necessarily have to mold a little statue and bow down to it. We create an image of God in our own minds that's not in accordance with the Word of God. See, we have a God now, most Americans and most Christians have a God that doesn't judge sin. They have a God that doesn't have a hell. They have a God that doesn't mind if they call him Allah or Buddha or Vishnu or, you see what I'm saying? This is creating an image. So they've changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed the glory, look at verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made into like corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, for this reason, see, this is what's dangerous. Once you create your own image of God, it's not according to the Scriptures and it's not according to truth. Once you create your own image and your own idea of God, it says God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies, or through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. I said that this morning. Homosexuality is not mentioned in the New Testament. You're changing the truth of God that does say homosexuality. It does define it in the New Testament, and it does say it's sin and abomination. And now you're saying it doesn't. You changed the truth of God into a lie. It's okay to be Christian and be homosexual. I love what Leonard Ravenhill used to say. You either saved from sin or saved in sin. Or you think you're saved in sin. You can't be both. Are you saved from sin or you claim to be saved while you're in sin? Didn't Jesus say go and sin no more, right? Lest the worst thing come upon you. The message of the gospel is not continue in sin. The message of the gospel is turn around, obey, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Before I read any more, let me just say that. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Guess what? Deny yourself, self-denial. But you don't understand, Pastor Dean. I have inclinations and feelings and desires, a man toward another man or a woman toward another woman. Well, guess what? I still have feelings and desires to drink beer, but I don't. I'm not going to lie. I could leave here today and drink a 12-pack. Some of you make me want to drink. Okay? Because I like the taste of beer. Right? And I know what the feeling of alcohol makes you feel like. Until you drink too much. But every now and then, when I'm working, when I'm hot, when I'm sweating, when I'm stressed, when I'm tired, the old Dean, the old flesh, the old desire rise up, and I would love to drink a cold six-pack of beer. I mean, literally, sometimes I can feel my body literally shake because I had a problem with that. But Nancy will tell you, do I go get beer? No. I deny that flesh, that self-desire. And through the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, I'm able to say no. Right? Well, guess what? Same goes for sexual desire. We all have sexual desires. Some of them are acceptable, and some of them are against nature, as the Bible calls homosexuality, against nature. But just because you have a desire, you may have a desire to steal. You may see a pile of money on the floor, and you know it belongs to Jack, and you think, and Jack's gone. And the desire may come over you to take that money because you have some bills that's got to get paid. You see what I'm saying? You're going to have desires that are evil and wicked and sinful, and you're either going to deny them and resist them, or you're going to say yes to them. And the same goes for homosexual desires. Just because you have homosexual desires does not mean you have to act upon them. No more than a man who gets tempted by a secretary at work to commit adultery, he may feel the pull or the temptation. His body may become excited because this woman's paying attention to him. He may be having problems at home, and he may have a desire in the flesh to satisfy that by committing the sin of adultery. But the Christian who believes God's word and understands I have to deny myself, take up the cross, and follow the Lord, the Word of God, the Logos, right? Self-denial, sacrifice, ought to be normal to Christians instead of making excuses. Well, here we go. God understands I have needs. No, he doesn't understand. He understands that you have a flesh. He understands that you are tempted. He understands that you have weaknesses and inclinations toward things that are evil. Will you choose, is the question, to take up the cross of Jesus Christ, his blood, his name, his power, the power of his resurrection? Will you choose to take that cross up, deny yourself, and follow him? Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross and follow him, you are none of his. Right? Pretty simple. Let's keep reading Romans 1. I'm sorry, I had to stop and preach for a minute. That one was free. Next one I'm going to charge you for. Here we go. Uh-oh, they're going to call me Creflo. I better be careful. I don't want any plane. I don't want a plane. We're all right. Verse 24, he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And if you ever, you want to see a display of worshiping the creature or the human body, just go to a gay pride parade. I don't know why they think that's acceptable to dress up like that and parade in public around children. It's sick. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection. Do you see that? Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, can I just say this? I read a study last night. A friend of mine in Australia posted studies that have been done over 18 years of the health of homosexual men. And do you know that they do not live out half the normal lifespan? And this is whether they get AIDS or they don't. They do not live out half the expected normal lifespan. Oh, also, you know this, that married men who don't divorce, stay married, but married men live longer than single men. Did you know that? And women beat us all. All of you live longer than us. But isn't it interesting, the scripture, and look this up for me, I can't remember now, but it just about the wicked not living out half their days. I mean, we talk about smoking being bad for your health, all the studies now over the years for smoking being bad for your health, all the studies now of you know, high-fat, high-sugar diets and all these things being bad for our health. It's a proven scientific fact that homosexuality is bad for your health. Why does he say? He says they will receive, look at verse 27 again, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, or which they were due. They got what they deserved. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only that do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now the death the Bible's speaking about here is eternal death or damnation in the lake of fire. You don't cease to exist. You're not annihilated. The second death, you're very much alive. But because you are separated from God in hell, suffering, it's called the second death in the lake of fire. It's eternal. Now, folks, let me ask you something. Was the word homosexual used in Romans 1? But did Romans 1 define men with men and women with women? detestable. He called it detestable, vile affections against nature. The Old Testament calls it an abomination. The scripture we're going to turn to in a minute calls them abusers of themselves with mankind, sodomites. In fact, the more accurate term is sodomite, not homosexual. Many people don't even know that up until 1973, the American Psychiatric Association labeled homosexuality a mental disorder. Now, Alan West, former Congressman Alan West, was he a colonel or a captain in the Army? He's pretty high. He's a colonel. You know, I said this years ago because many of you have never heard of this group. How many of you have heard of NAMBLA? You've heard of NAMBLA? NAMBLA? North American Man-Boy Love Association. These are individuals that are lobbying to make legal men having sex with children. But see, here's the slippery slope. I said years ago that if that ever gets legalized or the age of consent gets lowered much more, that we may have in America a complete seceding from the union of many states. We may have a civil war and a division and two countries created like during the Civil War over slavery. We're almost there now. This ruling, what happened this week, many of you don't know that the court ruled on Obamacare this week. They ruled on homosexual marriage, and the traitors in Congress just passed the Trans-Pacific Partnership to basically create a North American Union like the European Union, and they have sold us down the river, and they gave all authority over through fast action to President Obama. The Republicans did it. Wouldn't have happened without them. There are states, I think Texas for sure is considering seceding from the Union over this, and now this gay marriage rule. Oklahoma may, Alabama may. We could literally see states begin to leave the United, and I think we should, frankly. I said if I'm going to get political at all, it will be for Alabama to secede from the Union. And I think Alabama and Texas and Arkansas and Louisiana and a whole bunch of others that would, we should leave over this. We have an illegal president anyway. He wasn't born here. The government has been hijacked by Satanists and Illuminati people. I think the best thing that could happen would be for the conservative states to secede from the Union and create a new country and completely outlaw, adapt the United States Constitution with a few other parameters. See, I would make it illegal. You know, the Second Amendment to the Constitution guarantees our rights to bear arms, right? I would make it, under a new Bill of Rights, illegal to even put forth a law or legislation under a new country. If you put forth a law to undermine any of the laws already in place, you're going to be jailed or exiled. See, we shouldn't even allow people to try to change our laws, certain fundamental ones. Marriage is not mentioned in the Constitution of the United States, and the 10th Amendment declares anything not covered in the United States Constitution, the 10th Amendment says, is up to the states and the people to decide. Yet, we have a supposed constitutional lawyer, professor, as President of the United States, and he's violating it every day. He should be arrested, tried for treason, and shot, or hung, or whatever. That's what they used to do back in the old days. If you were tried for treason, you were shot or hung. So if you want Pastor Dean's political position, it's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's leave this sick, twisted, illegal union called the United States of America and create our own country. You know, with Texas oil and Louisiana oil and the nuclear missile silos in these states of ours, we could automatically be an oil power and a nuclear power overnight. And then I'd build a big fence between us and the rest of the United States. And Mexico would get the word, get your drug cartels under control, or Mexico City is turned into black glass. Guess what? They'd behave themselves. That's a nuclear missile. Kind of turns everything, melts sand and turns it into glass. Folks should start behaving. Iran, the United Free States of America, or whatever we'd call it, the United Free States of America has a policy toward Iran getting a nuclear missile. We're not going to let you do it. All of it stops now, or Tehran and the rest of those cities and the rest of those nuclear sites will be black glass as well. It's real simple to deal with these problems. The United States could deal with all of these problems. We could stop World War III from happening if we had any righteous leadership that had any sense that really cared about the world. But no, we are controlled now by homosexual sodomites and perverts and in the White House. Still wonder if Michelle is a female. But we know we have the homosexual prostitutes that admitted they were with Obama in Chicago and that he frequently visited the gay bathhouses and bars in Chicago. And oh yeah, for all the people in that get into race, he favored white, older white men to have his flings with. So this is America now. Now Clinton and Bush, and especially Bush's daddy, know better. They're all sodomites, perverts, rapists, and Satanists. That is what we've come to. If you want to know something, that is why we are where we are as a nation. And part of that blame, though, also lays at the foot of the church in America. Because we have not preached the truth. We have not taken stands on these things. We have not been bold. No, instead we created seeker-sensitive Christianity that waters it down, that's afraid to call sin, sin. It's afraid to say the word sodomy in church. And folks, I know some of you may think, oh God, my kids are in here or my kids are listening. Well, I guarantee you this much, they're going to hear it. Now we can't, you know, back in the 1940s and 50s, you could shield your kids from this stuff somewhat. No, they're going to hear it in school. They're going to hear it from friends. They're going to hear it in family members. There's such rampant sexual activity going on. The demons, sex of lust and perversion, have gone crazy. We are in Sodom. The folks, you know, they're going to hear it from you. Are they going to hear it from their pastor? Are they going to hear it? Listen to me. I'm going to say something this morning, vitally important. You listen, especially you young guys, man, and girls. There are going to be older men who will come along, and if you're playing games with God and you're drinking or experimenting with drugs, there are predators out there that are going to try to lure you into situations. I'm sorry, it's the way it is. When I was a teenager, I had some gay guys try to lure me in parties and drugs and alcohol. Kevin's told me about a situation, a pastor who was homosexual tried to lure him in. You need to understand, anybody trying to mess with you, that's why you don't need to play with alcohol and drugs. That's why you don't get around bad people in bad places, because the whole game is to get you in. They're not satisfied. And it's only going to get worse. But Alan West, I was saying it a minute ago, he, former congressman, that people want him to run for president, colonel in our army. I believe he's a Christian. But he put on there, he said, it didn't take too long, did it? He said, now there are groups, not just NAMLA, but other groups and other people lobbying to make pedophilia acceptable and legal. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. I think he served in the Gulf War, maybe, 91. It's a slippery slope now that we redefine marriage, and now that men and men can get married and women get married, now we're going to have threesomes getting married and foursomes, and people are going to want to marry their pet. You already got people wanting to marry their son or their daughter. Oh, yes. We are Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's go to the verse here. We saw that in the New Testament. Let's look at another one just to give you some scripture, because there's a few other things I want to say before I close here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I've given you one New Testament passage all about it. Defining homosexuality is addressed in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the good news, verse 11, and such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that amazing? He's saying some of you in the church of Corinth, you used to be homosexuals and sodomites. Let me define these words here. This is King James. I love the King James. But if you look up the original Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek. So if you want to fuss about translations, let's just go to the original Greek. The original Greek here, for abusers of themselves with mankind, the Strong's Greek Dictionary defines this word, or this phrase, abusers of themselves with mankind, as sodomite, sodomy. Now, does anyone in here not know what that is, or do I need to say it? Do they know? I'll let y'all tell them then. But you have to turn off the Wi-Fi password because they can look up the definition, or hide the dictionaries because it's in there too. Here's another one. It's interesting. A lot of people think this word effeminate, this word here in the Greek dictionary, means soft, as in soft clothing, is the picture. Greek words always give you a picture of something soft. But in the Strong's Greek dictionary, the word also meant catamite. Catamite. Now, you have to understand, the Greek culture was very familiar with this phrase, with this term. And in Latin, it's catamus. All right? But it means a pedophile. Y'all can talk about all this later. So don't tell me that the New Testament does not address homosexuality, homosexual sin, the sexual encounters between men and men and women with women, and that it even defines it here. And there's a reason why it's called abusers of themselves with mankind. There's a reason why they call it effeminacy. Now, I'm just going to say this to you. There are some, it's amazing. Hollywood's been pushing homosexuality for a long time. I mean, in the 70s, I happened to, yesterday, just didn't, I don't even know how this popped up in my YouTube feed, or somebody posted, I can't remember, but how many of you remember a guy named, an actor and comedian named Paul Lynn? Y'all remember him? I mean, he was an older man in the 70s, okay? I think he passed away in 82. He's a famous comedian. He was on the Hollywood squares all the time. He was the center square. You can look him up. He was as flamboyant, homosexually feminine acting. And so I paused on this because it was like, I thought, I need to see this for some reason. And so I watched, and they were showing clip after clip of him on Hollywood Squares. And the last clip was him dressed in drag. In the 1970s, and clip after clip was him making sexual innuendo after innuendo, even homosexual ones. And I thought, they put him on this show. He was on, he was on that show all the time. He was the center square all the time. He was as effeminate acting as can be. Now, effeminate is when a man has the mannerisms of a woman. Folks, that it's not supposed to be. Okay? Now, I know some of them are taking female hormones to help assist that. But there are many before the days of taking female hormones that were soft and effeminate and feminine acting men. Here's my theory on that. Why they can, I mean, I don't even know how you could put on the voice changes, the way they walk, they don't walk like a man, they swish. Their hand mannerism, all kinds of things. It's just, it's eerie because I know that they're not doing this consciously trying to do it. Okay? And so once I said, Lord, I knew it was a demon spirit. I knew the door had been opened. Either they molested when they were a child or somewhere in their generations a demon of homosexuality or effeminacy was passed to them. But I said, this hit me one day, because once we discover that the fallen angels, you know, when the fallen angels came and had sexual relations with human women and they created the Nephilim, the giants that were half human and half fallen angel, the book of Enoch and even the Bible gives us the hint and the clear hint that the fallen angels were taken and chained until the day of judgment. So what are demon spirits? Well, the book of Enoch tells us that demon spirits are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, of the giant, the Raphaim. And that because they're half human and half fallen angel, they were made to just roam the earth until the day of judgment. These are what unclean spirits, demon spirits are. They're not fallen angels. They are the spirits and souls of the Nephilim, the Raphaim, the Zamzumings, and those creatures. Well, you have to understand that some of the giants were not all male. They procreated and they had both male and female Nephilim. And I think that some of the departed female spirits will get inside of a man and make him into what they used to be. That's just a little free theory I have, but I believe it's right. That's why they can even look at times, they will appear feminine. It starts changing their physical appearance and the way they act and talk and everything. So we're dealing with demon possession here. Demon influences, unclean spirits. But again, God has given the human race, he's given us all, even before we get saved, a free will. of how far we're going to go. But if you keep playing with the devil's stuff and you keep getting involved and indulging these lusts and these sins and these perversions, you open the door to more and more of these evil spirits till finally you are controlled by them, possessed by them. That's why you can't play with sexual sin of any kind. You open doors to demon spirit. And you will become what they want you to be, what they used to be. See, they don't have a body. That's why they want a physical body so bad, because they used to have one. They want to, see, this is a sick thing, is demons want to live the life they want to live. They want to live it through you. They got to have a body. They want a body. That's why Jesus said they walk through dry, when they're cast out of a man, when unclean spirits cast out, he walks through dry places seeking rest and he finds none. Why? Because his rest, this ought to get you to understand something. The demons rest, their joy, they revel in flesh. They got to have flesh. Because they were part fallen angel and had a human body, they could just indulge every lust and desire and sickness and perversity of the flesh. But now, after they're out of a body, they can't fulfill those lusts and those desires unless they can get in you and live it through you. See, but as a Christian, we're supposed to let Jesus and his Holy Spirit fill us and live through us. Amen? You will do one or the other. Right? The Bible's very clear here. If you practice these sins listed here, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I have people all the time say, well, that kingdom of God means the kingdom of God here on earth. You just won't get to do anything for the kingdom, but you'll still go to heaven when you die. No! The kingdom of God is coming when Jesus comes. That's why the book of Revelation says now when he comes. At the end, it says now has come the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. It hasn't come yet. If this is the kingdom of God down here, I don't want to be in it. Because this is a filth pool. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like the earth. I don't like what it's become. I'm terrified of my children growing up in this filth. That's why I say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let's look at it. Jude, finally. I told you we'd get there. Simple little verse here. We're going to start reading at verse 1. Jude was an apostle. He was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Think about this. This is the man who lived in the house with Jesus. He was born several years after Jesus was born. But he grew up with Jesus. This is also the man who quotes Enoch as scripture. We're going to cover the book of Enoch in one service in depth in the days ahead. Jude 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Why? For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or licentiousness or do whatever you want and grace covers it, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner,
giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Do you see that? Sodom and Gomorrah, New Testament. They are an example to us, to those who would live ungodly afterwards, and they are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire because they gave themselves over to fornication, pornea. The word fornication is not just premarital sex or sex between heterosexuals. It is actually all unlawful sexual lust and sin. It's an all-encompassing word, pornea is. He says they gave themselves over to every filth and sexual sin and perversion. And this is interesting. He says they went after strange flesh. You really don't want me to say what that is, so I'm going to go on. I'm going to move on. You can look it up yourself. Now, I told you I would get to this. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. We call this today Sodom, sin, and the judgment of God. 1 John chapter 5. I want to show you this before we end here because I know this has been a little long. But when I got the news this week, I heard the news, first reports, that the Supreme Court had just overturned 200-something years of the traditions and culture and laws of the United States of America. Five justices. When I heard that, the only phrase that came into my being was brace for impact. Judgment is now inevitable. And I believe it will be fast coming now. The homosexuals are reveling. They're partying. Judges are defying orders already, issuing gay marriage licenses before they're even supposed to. It's not a done deal completely yet. There still is a rehearing in 25 days. There's an injunction by the Supreme Court of Alabama to not, or one of the circuit judges, or I don't know, I can't remember, but there's an injunction that Alabama judges are not supposed to issue any marriage license until all this is resolved, and yet there's some probate judges that are now issuing marriage licenses they did in Mobile. I would have them jailed immediately for contempt of court. I don't know what they'll do to them, but they should jail them immediately. But we're in a season now of lawlessness. A whole lot of people should be going to jail that don't go to jail. But I told you I was going to give you the scriptures. Are all sins the same? I'm going to show you what the Bible says, and they're not the same. Are you there? All right, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start reading verse 13. All sins are not the same, folks. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and them that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now let's address this, right? Because we read 1 John 1:8 earlier, We'll go back to that real quick. 1 John 1:8. He says here, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So let's address this real quick. He says here in verse 16 of chapter 5, 1 John 5, if any man see his brother sin, and the Greek verb tense here of this verb sin is present tense, which means ongoing, continuous, and in the present. So he's saying if you see a brother sinning a sin that's not unto death continuously, you will pray for him, and God's going to help them, and God's going to give him life for it. I tell people all the time, I said, a good example of this to me is a brother or sister who has a problem with tobacco, whether it's chew, snuff, dip, smoking cigarettes. Those things are bad for your health. They're bad for your body, right? But there's nowhere in the Bible it says that you're going to go to hell for that. And there are people who've gotten themselves addicted to nicotine and tobacco, and they are going to pay a price in this life. Their health, they're going to pay a price for their health. And those of you know, people that are addicted to that are doing it continuously. I don't know how anybody affords to smoke anymore. What are they, $5 a pack now? Think about that. If cigarettes are $5 a pack and you smoke today, let's say 2 packs a day. Heavy smokers smoke 2 packs a day. Some 3 packs a day. But if you smoke 2 packs a day, $10 a day, that's $300 a month. Or let's just say you only smoke a pack a day, that's $150 in a month. For some people, that's a power bill, phone bill. And then if you drink beer on top of that, I don't know how anybody pays their bill, right? If you drink and smoke, right? But the Bible doesn't define and doesn't say anything about alcohol or tobacco, a bad habit, and it is sin, but I don't believe it's a sin unto death. Let me give you another one. Well, that's enough on that. You say, well, what is a sin unto death then? That you can't pray for. You can't intercede for somebody for. They have to confess it. They have to repent. They have to stop it. Well, that's the sins listed to say you won't inherit the kingdom of God, or the ones that plainly say you'll be in the lake of fire. What are those? Where are those listed? 1 Corinthians 5, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, Revelation 21, 6 through 8. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, witchcraft, hatred, violence, drunkenness. You hear me? They're listed. This is what I'm saying. There's nothing confusing about Christianity. What does Galatians 5 say? I read it last week. I preached it last week. He lists those sins. He gives a good list. Galatians 5, 19 through 22 there, he gives a great list, and he says, these are the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he gives adultery and fornication and lasciviousness and uncleanness and hatred and envy, murder, drunkenness. Yes, getting drunk habitually is a sin unto death that will damn you to hell. And he says very plainly, those who practice these things habitually, the Greek word praso, if you practice these sins habitually, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the book of Revelation 21, 6 through 8, he talks about it. He says, but the abominable and the murderers and the sorcerers and the whoremongers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Galatians 21, 6 through 8. Did I say? I said Galatians, I'm sorry. Revelation 21, 6 through 8. Galatians 5, 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, we read a minute ago. So if the Bible says, especially in the New Testament, if it's listed as something that says you will not inherit the kingdom of God, in fact, Ephesians puts it this way. It says you will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. None means zero. Zippity-doo-dah. not in this life or the next. You cannot practice iniquity. And that's what the word here, see, this almost sounds confusing because he says here, there are all unrighteousness is sin, verse 17, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, what is he talking about here? It's not a contradiction because he says, okay, if Christians, we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves. So it doesn't mean we never sin. But then he says this verse here says that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Wait a minute now, that sounds like a contradiction. It sounds confusing. That's why you have to go back to the original Greek, and that's why you have to go back to the Greek verb tenses. Because what he's saying here in the word sinneth in that verse is a present tense Greek verb, which means an ongoing, continuous practice that's taking place in the present. It's something that you haven't stopped. It's something that you continually do, and you're doing it right now. He said, the person who is truly born of God will not practice a sin unto death habitually. Whoa! Oh, wait a minute now. See, there's a lot of people, and I agree, you know, our Baptist brethren, I don't believe once saved, always saved. I believe you can know God and walk away. I believe you live for God, and then you can decide, I'm going to go back in sin and live there and be lost forever. That's what 2 Peter 2 shows us. It's all over the Bible. I wrote a book about it, Grace Abuse. It's full. It's loaded with all the scriptures on it. Can somebody say amen? Does it cover the subject? Believe, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe. Do you believe? Well, pray this prayer with me. You're saved, and now you're saved forever. This has been probably the most damaging doctrine and theology that's been in the church now for decades and decades, is just believe. Believing is just the first step in being born of God. You have to believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is God in the flesh, that only he could die for your sins on the cross because he was sinless, that only his blood could wash your sins away. You had to admit that you were a sinner and you deserved to go to hell. You should go to hell. But because he loved you and he died for you and he rose from the dead the third day, you have to believe all that. And then you have to say, I need forgiveness and I choose to repent and take up my cross and follow Jesus. But what we've told people is, that all they have to do is believe. That is a lie. That is incomplete gospel. That is a different gospel than what Paul taught and Peter taught and even what Jesus taught. Jesus said all the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repent. The word repent is metanoia, which means that you change the way you think and you reform your actions. Because you feel guilty, you change the way you live. That's why Paul wrote, such were some of you, Corinthians. You used to be homosexual. You used to be a pedophile. You used to be a murderer. You used to be a drunkard. You used to do that. But you repented and you were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you are not born again because of faith and repentance, then you were never saved. If you just went up front and prayed with the preacher and signed a card and got baptized, said, I believe in Jesus, but you never repented of your sin, you never felt guilty or ashamed of your sin, you never hated your sin enough to try everything in your power to turn away from it and walk with God, then I'll say you never understood the gospel, or you would never preach the gospel, or you were never willing to do what the gospel said to do. Isn't that right, Trey? I saw a little clip from Leonard Ravenhill the other day. He sang, we sang that song, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross. He said, away with that. He said, there's room on the cross. Are you crucified with Christ? Again, that doesn't mean you'll never sin or you'll never fall or you'll never blow it as a Christian. But it will not be what you pursue or desire or want.
in your life. If you do sin, it will make you miserable and you will repent. You won't chase after hoes or whoremongers. Hoes are the female, whoremongers are the male. Right? You won't be, you know, on the edge of your seat. You can't wait for Friday so you can get to the club or the pub. If that's what the desire of your heart, you're not saved. If you can't wait to get in the sack with the neck and have the next sexual sin, or you can't wait to find the next homosexual lover, you are not saved. You are not born of God. Because one born of God cannot habitually live in a lifestyle of sin. Cannot do it because they are miserable. But now they can choose to say, I'm done with God. I'm going to do what I want. Those are called backsliders. And the Bible says hell will be worse for the backslider who goes there than for the one who never knew. And if those of you listening out there believe that lie of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security, and you want to send me nasty email or letters, go ahead. I'll mail you a book. I ain't got time to type it all out. I wrote it once. You hear what I'm saying? But thank God. Can we say thank God that there is forgiveness with him? Patience. He's patient, y'all. I think about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many years did God let that all go on before he destroyed them? And that was under the old covenant. That was before Jesus died on the cross and satisfied the penalty for sin. I thought about that today. Everybody thinks God in the Old Testament was different than the God of the New Testament. Even the Gnostics have a belief that there's two different gods, one of the Old Testament, one of the New. What they don't understand is God was patient even then. The sinners, the wicked say, why does God allow evil? Because he's waiting on you. He's giving you time. And to give you time to understand, time to repent, time to get your life right with him. Every moment that he waits before he judges is love and mercy and grace toward fallen mankind. So here's the scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not willing. 9 and 10 there. God is not willing. He's not slack concerning his promise. He will judge the world. But he says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The heart of God is for the homosexuals and the adulterers and the fornicators and the drunkards and the witches and the Satanists and the haters and the despisers. His desire is that they will see, the gospel will shine in their minds, that they will see, that they will understand, that they will finally say, I need Jesus to wash my sins away. I need to be saved. I want more out of life. I want eternal life. The heart of God is to forgive you. Listen, if you're homosexual listening to me or listening to this, we'll have 300-400 people listen to this, maybe more. If you're a homosexual listening to this, God's heart and desire for you is to forgive you and set you free and to have you walk with him. He doesn't want to throw you away. He doesn't want to judge you. He doesn't want to put you in hell. That's not his desire. But if you don't change your desire, if you don't change your actions, if you don't believe and accept him and follow him, there is no other choice.
God's not forcing anybody to go to heaven. If you go to heaven, you walk through the door. You know that? That means there's one door. And his name is Jesus Christ. And you don't walk through that door trying to carry all your sin, lust, and evil and wickedness. You won't make it through that door. But if you're willing to drop all the big bags of garbage, he'll clean you up and let you in. That's the goodness of God. But let me end with this. I said I saw or heard the phrase, brace for impact. Now, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Meaning when we get in the end times, it would be militant homosexuality, pedophilia, sexual just lasciviousness, and all this would just be rampant. Right? See, I believe what's coming. See, a lot of people think, you know, Noah's judgment was global, the flood. But we forget, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't the whole world. Five cities were turned into ash, as an example. I say this to America, prepare to lose some cities. Prepare. This ruling from the Supreme Court, this painting the White House in the rainbow colors of the gay pride movement, all this partying. And if you're a righteous person living in San Francisco, Key West, New Orleans, I would get out. California. Hey, I'm going to tell you this right now. God's going to speak to some Christians out there to get out of certain places and out of certain cities. Better be listening. Or at least, if you're not listening, you better be ready to meet your maker. America will lose some cities. I've seen it. Now I know the trigger. It's here, and I've been feeling it. And I think one more straw is about to go down. If we vote against Israel and the United Nations, or choose to let them do whatever they want. The Pope this week also just signed the treaty with the Palestinians to acknowledge a Palestinian state. Remember what the Lord gave me back Thanksgiving of 2014. He told me this year everything would speed up. Is it not speeding up? We are seeing a convergence of Bible prophecy, and we're seeing things speed up faster than I even thought it would happen. It would go. I think the West Coast is going to see a massive, massive earthquake. 8, 9.0 or bigger soon. Certain parts of the United States, New Orleans, they don't have any sense. They're already below sea level. And we know that a large asteroid struck there. It created the Gulf of Mexico. And basically, Texas and Louisiana, you can see under the water where a lot of land slid down into the Gulf of Mexico. It wouldn't take much for them to... The southern part of Texas there, Louisiana, especially New Orleans, to be underwater. I mean, they already experienced a little bit of that. Tsunami on the West Coast. I'm telling you. It's going to happen. God will use, he said in the Old Testament, he said, if his people turned against him, he would use enemies to bring judgment. He would use natural disasters. So brace yourselves. Don't be surprised. But know this, I believe this with all my heart. As judgment begins to fall, there will be some people start repenting. And I believe the church is going to start praying as it should. At least some of them. So, have we learned anything this morning? A lot of this is repetition for our church, but you know, for those that say Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality, he did. He talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. You mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah, you're talking about God hating homosexual sin, sexual perversion, and judging it. And not just in this world, but also in the next. And Jesus talked about, so Jesus acknowledged Sodom and Gomorrah. Paul acknowledged Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter acknowledged Sodom and Gomorrah. They defined homosexuality and rampant homosexuality as judgment at the doors. So we're there, folks. We are there. And I believe there will be a move of God in the days ahead. But which side? You've got to answer the question, which side am I going to be on? I hope you make up your mind. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you that you are patient and that you love all people and desire them to come to repentance and faith in the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. You want everyone to be saved, Lord, but we know everyone won't be. But we pray that more will be, that the truth will set them free, that Holy Spirit, you will take this word, the truth, and you'll bring conviction of sin, draw people to repentance and to receive the forgiveness that you want to give them. There are people that need demons cast out of them. And there needs to be a church that will rise up and cast demons out of people. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us set the captives free. Help us, God, overcome the temptations and our lust and our flesh and everything that tries to pull us down as Christians even. God, we don't look at ourselves as better. We look at ourselves as, you know, a starving person that found bread that wants to help somebody else that's starving find the bread of life. So, Lord, we pray, help us. Help us do that. Help us reach people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, all right. We're going to sign off Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate all those who have been with us today. Fire and Grace Church here in Opelika, Alabama. Those of you in the area, you can join us at our new location, 200 2nd Avenue in Opelika, on the corner right across from the other corner is Piedmont Fertilizer. So we're next door. So Piedmont Fertilizer is going to let us park, use their parking as well if we need it. Soon we're going to have our 2015 Bible Prophecy Conference. We'll probably have it here more than likely. And we're going to do a deliverance seminar one Saturday where we actually teach on deliverance, because there's a lot of churches out there that think they have deliverance ministries, but they don't cast out demons. So we got to straighten some of that out and deal with that issue. But anyway, are we signed off?